Well, good morning, guys. Good morning. This is nothing short of a dream come true. You know, I'm really humbled to be up here, and I definitely feel like the passion and the call and the fire that God has put in my heart to just preach and present the word. And he's been so gracious, and he's been so just good to me, and just opening doors for me and allowing me to have opportunities. And so I just want to thank you guys. Thank Pastor Tom and Pastor Jonathan for just allowing me to take this stage for this Sunday. And yeah, with that, you know, out of high school, I always felt from a young age that I wanted to like be a pastor, that I wanted to be a preacher. I really just felt like the Spirit would just, you know, give me things and help me understand the word and just make it make sense in a way that just came so naturally. And so I knew it wasn't something that was from me. I knew it was from the God and from Holy Spirit. And so within that, out of high school, I kind of like, I didn't step away from the faith, but my priorities and my perspective got a little sidetracked. See, because we had friends and we had people who had all these like great things, these big houses, big cars. And I was like, that's what I want in life, you know? I was thinking to myself, forget it. I'm going to go into trades. I'm not really big into college. I hate sitting in classes and just whatever. Going right into the trades. My parents taught me work ethic. I'm going to make a lot of money. I'm going to get a nice car. All the great things in life, right? All the things that bring freedom. But you see, it wasn't until I started working as an electrician. I went through one apprentice and the apprenticeship kind of fell through. And then I picked up another. And one week, he calls me and says, hey, Vinny, next week I don't have any work for you. Your work week is off. And I don't know if you guys know, but this church is also part of a school called Holden Christian Academy. And that school dedicates a whole week to emphasizing spiritual growth. It's called Spiritual Emphasis Week. And who leads that is Matt Huffman. Well, that Sunday night when I got that message, I got another message from Matt Huffman. He says, hey, Vinny, hey, Anthony, do you want to come out? Do you want to have some dinner with us? So I go out talking. He catches up. He's a great guy. He likes to stay in contact with us. And he says to me, hey, by the way, right as the night's closing, as we're about to leave, he goes, HCA is coming up tomorrow. So that's this church here. And he was like, if you're free, you can come join for the week. So I was thinking, hold up. All right, so I was trying to open doors. The apprenticeship fell through. I found another apprenticeship, and it was going good. But he calls me and says, I have a week off. And that Sunday, he texts me. Matt Huffman texts me and says, hey, Vinny, the week that he didn't know I had off is Holden Chapel Spiritual Emphasis Week. So I said, if this is not an open door from God, I don't know what is. So I decided to do it. And man, will I just tell you that was the greatest experience I've had in my life. And I was able to speak into kids. I was able to just spiritually help them grow. And we got to do these things where we journal with them and communicate with them. And they gave me personal things in their life. And I was able to just use the word to write back to them. And you see, the point that I want to make with this little testimony is I thought freedom and I thought the purpose to life was being able to get a nice car, was being able to get a nice house, was being able to get all these materialist things. See, as there's nothing wrong exactly with those things, but I realized I wasn't submitting myself to God. And you see, the world says freedom is gained through materialism and my wants, but church, I'm coming with a message that the Holy Spirit put on my heart that says freedom is gained through my will being submitted to His. And you know, after worship and after playing up here with everyone, I really feel that the Spirit is here, feel that He's in my heart, I feel that He's all around. And I know some of you guys, whether you know Christ or not, I know that even people who are Christians for a long time, you're walking in with baggage, you're walking with chains, you're walking in feeling like you're still in bondage. But I pray and I think that today, after today, we're going to break some of those chains, we're going to break some of that bondage, we're going to leave it behind. And you see, so today I'm going to be tackling this idea of what is freedom, how is it gained, and it's gained through submission to God. And obviously, as you know, being a part of 2024, freedom to us is a huge topic, especially as Americans. And by no means is this new. Even the apostle John had to address this in the Bible in John 8:32-36. It reads, "Then you know the truth, and the truth will set you free," they answered him. "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone." You can move to the slide, thank you. "How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son will set you free, you'll be free indeed." Now you guys have to understand, some context behind this is that the Jews, they thought because they were covenant, right? Abraham made a covenant with God that said the Jews are his holy and chosen people. So they thought, I'm God's chosen people. I'm already set free. But the apostle John is saying, you have to know the truth and the truth will set you free, because they were really great at studying the word, studying the scriptures, and studying the text. But he's saying, guys, these texts that witness about Christ, he's standing here now and you don't recognize him. And you're choosing this life of sin, and anyone who sins is a slave to sin. And so he's calling the Jews to recognize that although covenantally with Abraham, you're God's chosen people, it still means that we need Christ, that we need to live a life that is submitted to Christ. And so our Western society defines freedom basically as doing whatever we want, saying whatever we want, without any consequence or imposing on our subjective wills. Freedom to us is having nothing imposed on our own will in life. I mean, all fairness, you can switch the slide, the Merriam-Webster dictionary is, the definition of freedom is the power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants without hindrance or restraint. Freedom is a God-given right, don't get me wrong. Our love and inherent desire for freedom and liberty comes from God. But the devil is the prince of this world, and he always tries to take and pervert and change the good things that God has for us. And he does this with everything, but especially freedom. And the reason the freedom is important for the devil to pervert is because freedom is not something that's just temporary, but something that is of eternal consequence. See, he wants to give us, as a country and a society, a delusion of freedom, an illusion of freedom, but keeping us captive to our fleshly desires. It's kind of like a fishing lure, and I don't know if any of you guys have gone fishing, but you see, what happens is when a fisherman throws a fishing lure into the water, the lure is meant to be used as bait. The reason it's bait is sometimes, as you see in this picture, it can even have shiny scales on it, so when the sun bounces off of it, it looks like it's shining. And the fish are so attracted to it, they're moving to it. And you see, it looks like something good. It looks like something that they want. But you see, when they go and bite on it, there's hooks. And those hooks are used to catch the fish and capture them. And so just like this illusion of freedom that we have, the devil uses it to pretend and capture us. So the first and most clear point I want to make is this world presents freedom as a complete and utter lack of submission to anything we don't see fit for yourself. We see this in things as like living our own truth. But God defines freedom not as a lack of submission, but a complete and utter submission to the one objective truth, the Word of God. In Ephesians 2:1-5, we see Paul saying, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you previously walked according to the ways of the world, according to the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following the desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we are by nature deserving of wrath." See, guys, if any of you aren't Christians, or if any of you are, before we met Christ, we were enslaved to the ways of this world. We were dead in our failures and mistakes and sinful flesh. A world that we live in offers freedom so highly, all the while we're enslaved through the appeal of our subjective wills and fleshly desires. You see, I'm trying to communicate this point that the enemy says freedom is one thing, and he says it's doing whatever we want. Says we can say and think and be however we want in our own eyes. We can live our own truth. We see this thing, it's you do you. Who am I to judge? But the problem is, the Bible tells us that we were enslaved and held captive by our sins. And he says, submit to me in all your ways, and I will make your path straight. And so if we don't see what's going on here, the world and the narrative that the world is pushing is for you to do whatever you feel like makes you feel good. Especially over our generation. See, because we have things called iPhones now. And there's this thing called social media. And you see, what social media is they have a bunch of influencers out there. And not many of them are Christian. And you see, there's two options. There's serving Christ or serving the world. And our generation is being raised by these influencers who aren't serving Christ. They're serving the world, and they're communicating messages that are falling into us, that is corrupting our society, saying whatever you want to do, no matter the confusion that it brings, no matter the worry and fear and anxiety and depression that it brings, you do it, because you're God. And you see, as a country, we've removed God from our society. See, we used to be one God under, one nation under God. We used to have prayer in our schools. And now on the biggest TV live event, we're mocking our God. These are things that are going on and that we're facing on the daily. These are the ways that our children and the youth and the young adults are being raised under this. But church, I don't want to come before you and just worry you with the bad news. I just need you guys to know the sincerity in my heart for me bringing this, because this is something that we're facing. This is something that as a country, we need to wake up from and realize, because we've turned our hearts away from God. We need to turn them back to Him. We need to submit to Him. You see, this narrative of freedom that our world offers so much is pushed through this lens of do whatever makes you feel happy, being whatever makes you feel happy, and not letting anyone tell you different. A worldview so self-obsessed, self-focused, that it tricked us into forgetting the only freedom we were getting in this world was the freedom to choose which path of prideful sin we were going to live in. See, this narrative is not coincidental. See, in Ephesians, it says the enemy is the ruler of the kingdom of the air. We see in Ephesians, so he has a spiritual influence in this world. You see, he is influencing things in this world. It's not a coincidence that there's such a huge effort to remove God out of everything. The problem is he's not that creative. He doesn't make new ideas, and he takes what our Lord and Savior created and twists it. He turns it into counterfeit gospels. See, like how we have a illusion of freedom and control, but it's really just furthering the bondage we're spiritually in. You see, that's counterfeit what the gospel presents us. It says, come to me when you are in bondage, submit to me, and I will free you. But the enemy says, leave him, do whatever you want, and you'll be freed. And materialism in ourself now, in this day and age, is held above everything else. We're more focused on what we can do for what we can think will make us happy. But it's all an illusion, because you see, what we're doing in this process of living a life trying to do whatever makes us happy and pleases us, we're exalting our human selves to the place that God is in. And this theme is not new. In fact, it's the oldest theme in history from the beginning of time. When we analyze the very first book of the Bible, we see Satan used the same appeal to introduce sin into the world. He didn't come down as this fiery, evil guy who had the spear that we usually think that he is. You see, he didn't present himself as that, this guy with horns. No. He came to Eve and said, "Did God really say?" And so sometimes we think the enemy operates just by being evil and bad. And, oh, of course I know it's Satan. Because he's just going to be evil and he's going to be bad. But you see, he comes by saying, "Did God really say?" He just really wants you not to be like him, because if you eat of the tree, you'll be like God. And he knows that. Something that really stands out to me in that verse is it says the devil was the most crafty. As you see, the serpent was the most cunning of all the wild animals that the Lord God had made. But his means and method of illusion and bondage was through appealing to our egos and our pride. Because the message that he came to us with was, do whatever you want to do, because God says not to do it, because if you do it, you'll be like him. And so our inherent desire, or this way that we are from the beginning of time, is because we want to be in a position where we're like God. And the enemy knows that. We even see this idea embedded in something so universal to who we are as Americans. This idea of freedom. See, the idea of humans being our own gods, having the right and ability to do whatever our flesh desires, pursue anything we want, and live the American dream where we have the right and ability to pursue our wildest dreams. I mean, I even think about the oldest Disney movies. What's always a, follow your heart, you know? That's the princesses. I mean, I don't have the same voice as them, but they're always communicating this message of follow your heart. Church, the Bible says our heart is inherently deceitful above all else. Our hearts, we don't need to follow them, we need to submit them. And sadly, it breaks my heart to read these, and by all means, I'm not reading these lightly, because it also breaks our Father's heart in heaven. But I bring these today to shine light on the struggles going, to hopefully offer freedom from the snares they are. You see, suicide is the 11th leading cause of death in America. In 2022, 1.6 million people tried to end their lives. And 21 million people have openly communicated they've had at least one major depressive episode. And that's those who have just sent the information in. So we know it's more than that. Over 40 million adults have at least expressed suffering from severe anxiety. Almost 50% of Americans say they feel lonely at least once a week. And at least 57.8 million people live with some sort of mental illness caused from trauma. See, the reason that I'm bringing this here today is because in a country where freedom is talked about so much and held arguably on both sides of the spectrum above everything else, we're a culture and society that is living under the deception of the enemy. When we can accept a narrative that exalts ourselves above all and removes God from the equation, under this confines of you do you, to each their own, we have one of the most depressed, anxious, suicidal, and mentally unhealthy countries. And you see, this isn't new, because in Revelation we're warned. It says that the enemy knows his time is short, and so his wrath is shown on this earth. And we know that he's operating in this spiritual realm that is influencing us. And so we see these things as a manifestation of his wrath, because he knows in the end he lost. And this kind of leaves us with this unanswered question is, where does our true freedom from this demonic enslavement and oppression come from? And this brings us back to John, when he says, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. So addressing this first question of our verse, where and what do we need freedom from? This doesn't feel good. We need freedom from ourselves. We need freedom from our flesh, from our desires. Disney's not going to like me, but we need freedom from our hearts. You see, we were dead and nothing before Christ, and we were all on a path to hell. See, I like to kind of say it like this. We weren't crawling, we weren't walking, we weren't nudging. We were dead in our sins and our transgressions. And the humility and realization of a Savior who is so rich in mercy that we need, that is the truth that will set us free. And so I come to you guys today and I say, if we're falling into this trap and illusion of pleasing and doing whatever we want to do, following our hearts and falling into these demonic enslavements and traps, be humble enough to say, we need Christ. It's interesting because simultaneously, while there is this intentional effort to remove God from our society, there's this new movement of spiritualism and self-help mysticism. It's also at the highest. Analyzing the scriptures, this is not surprising because the enemy knows we need the scriptures as something in our life to keep us going. So he sends out his prophets that infiltrate the church and are still to this day misleading thousands of Christians worldwide. We see in 2 Timothy 4, 3-4, it says, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine, instead to suit their own desires. They will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Now guys, I don't have to get into it, but I know we as society are rejecting sound doctrine right now. Our generation is being influenced by the enemy to reject sound doctrine. And they have phones and apps and social media where they can go and find whatever they want to be in the same echo chamber for them to affirm and tell them exactly what they want to hear. And this doesn't surprise me because we know the Bible talks about in those times that the Spirit goes into the world and it's not recognized. And sometimes I'm left feeling like, how do we not see what's going on here? And I realize it's not because of me. It's not because I'm intelligent or because I can stay up on politics or anything. It's because I have the Holy Spirit. But there's a lot of people who don't. And because of this spiritual conflict, we've established a lot of our country off of Christian values, but this has been influenced by the infiltration of groups like Satanism, presenting the ideas of do whatever you want, do whatever makes you feel happy, or these secret societies with ideologies of a belief in a God is a belief in the God. As long as you believe in a God, you're good because all roads lead to heaven. All these external false gospels present themselves as not really worshiping Satan, for Satanism says Satan doesn't exist. Once again, rejecting sound doctrine. You're basing the name of the religion you're following off of someone you say doesn't exist. No, they just stand for the ripping out and removal of organized religion. We just stand for doing whatever you want. We just stand for having the right to just go out into the world and live your own life. Does that sound familiar? These false gospels present a form of godliness and power, becoming one with the universe, helping our society, being a good person, but they all fail on one measure. They deny the sanctity and divinity of our God, Jesus Christ. You see, Even most of the world accepts Jesus as a historical figure. But they say, he's just some guru. He's someone who did great things. He was an ethical genius. But the Son of Man? God himself? Nope. That's too far. That's too uncomfortable. And although we see in John, the truth will be made known, and that truth will set you free, the truth is being distorted and packaged to the world as something that denies the divine nature of Christ. So not only will the false gospel presenting a form of godliness but denying the divine nature of Christ, it'll also be known by the fruit that comes from it. So where does this leave us? With so many ideologies and religions and doctrines out there, what is this truth that will set us free? Guys, the truth is the message of the gospel. But you see, the true and one gospel, because the Jesus gospel can be packaged to suit anybody's needs. And I'm not saying this lightly, and I don't want to sound sarcastic, but I myself was tempted to present Jesus as this perfect sales pitch. The fixer. He'll make you happy. And I'm not denying him of being able to fix things. I'm not denying him of being able to bring joy into your life and free you. But I don't want to present him as this thing that he's not. Because I don't think if Jesus was presented in the right way, anyone would go, nah, I'm good. He'll free me from depression. I'm good. He'll free me from anxiety. I'll take a pass. In a society that I mentioned before, where suicide and depression and anxiety and mental health are all at a high, why wouldn't a Jesus packaged as this appeal to anyone? The Jesus that we need to present as a church is that I myself was a hostile to Christ. I was a child deserving of wrath. Following the spirit who rules this world that's at work in the disobedient. But the God of the universe, in his majesty and perfect love and justice, chose to manifest his love through Jesus Christ to have him who knew no sin become sin to die for me. You see, he came to tear down the wall of hostility that was separating me and us from Christ. To give his life and die a treacherous and torturous death on the cross, to rise again, to defeat death so that I may have chance for eternal life and unity with my Father one day. A love so great and deep and wide that a father, and I don't have a son, but I can't even comprehend this, would give his own son to someone who did nothing to deserve and earn it. Just so that I may have a chance to be one with him in eternity again. You see, guys, the message of the gospel is not Jesus is coming down to our level to make us happy. It's not that we work one and one with him and we're equal with him. The message of the gospel is Jesus Christ is one with God the Father. He is God. He was there before Moses. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody shall come to the Father except through me. I don't care how much oppression or spiritual bondage you're under, but if you bring that message into your life, God will set you free. Because what it calls of us and asks us to do is submit ourselves. Because you see, the inherent desire and this thought of becoming and acknowledging God as one, Jesus as one with God, is having to be humble enough to say, we're not. A society that removes God doesn't believe in nothing, It believes in everything and anything. But we know that everything and anything needs to be pushed aside for the one truth. That's the gospel. And you see, that is the gospel that I'll not be ashamed to speak off of my lips, because that is the gospel that has the power to save. That is the gospel that has the power to transform lives. You see, the enemy may give us every doubt and all fears to soften this gospel and our work and our daily lives reaching people, but I pray as a church that we know the truth will always overcome the lie, that the light will always dispel the darkness, and that although the devil is the prince of this world, our God is king. You see, biblical freedom does not come from exalting ourselves. For the Bible says that even our Lord and Savior descended from his throne in heaven. It says, whoever wants to be the first must learn how to become a servant of all. That's not what our society preaches. Our society says, put yourself before anyone else. Our society says, if I don't feel like it, I'll take a pass that day. That's not what it is, though. If we want to become first in the eyes of God, we have to learn how to serve like he served us. You see, because God and Jesus, they're one, and he's the perfect example of everything we need in life. And yet he came down and washed his own disciples' feet. He came down and gave his life up for us when one of his own members was planning from the beginning to overthrow him. And he knew that. It's not for us to present this holier than thou or somehow we're better than anyone else, but for the message on our lips to always be that we are broken, undeserving of God's love, and none of us are perfect or good, because we know there's one that was good, and that one man was Jesus. And again, not to come off as prideful, but that we are saved by his grace, not through our works, so that we can't boast. Because guys, all the other religions out there, your eternity is kind of left up to, I don't know, was I one with the universe enough? Was I doing enough good stuff? Was my good outweighing the bad? There's no cross. There's no acknowledgement exactly of who we know God is. It's just, I guess I have to be a good person. But the second we mess up, we're separated from perfect. And God can only be perfect. That's why our message is we're not saved by our works. We're saved by Jesus. And we see that those as elites in our society and country, these like untouchable famous Hollywood actors, the politicians who have immense power, these influencers who have achieved all the world can offer, sometimes, I know because it's true for myself, we can still get caught up in, that's a good life. We can get caught up in thinking that achieving what the world can offer us and having all the materialism it offers and doing all the things that these Hollywood actors are doing is what brings true happiness. But I know each and every one of us looks into their eyes and sees that those same people who are exalted as elites in our country are some of the most hurting and lost people who need Jesus. And to prove this point, many of you know Jim Carrey, one of my favorite comedians, was at a time one of the greatest and maybe still one of the greatest comedians to live. And he was one of, if not the first comedian to sign a movie deal for $20 million. He reached the top of the ladder and wrote, "I hope everyone gets rich and does everything they dream of so they see it's not the answer." And you see, when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, the last thing the enemy did to tempt him was bring him up above and look down over the world and said, and the devil said to him, I can give this to you. But then we hear Jesus as he's about to die. And people are saying, are you mad? Why are you not speaking? And he says, this world is not my kingdom. If it was, my saints would fight. This flesh, this is not what we're living for. This is not the end all be all. And the world is telling us that it is. And so I hope to shine light and wake some of the society and people up that it's not what we're living for. And that we need to turn as a country, we need to repent of that, and we need to submit to God. Remember, the enemy offers a counterfeit gospel because the Bible says the first shall be last and the last shall be first. And this is not an attack on money or people who have ambitions in life, but I do come before you and say, we should check our intentions a little because the Bible says we cannot serve both God and money. And the Greek word for this is mammon, which means money, success, fame, or money over God. I heard this. I forgot who it was from, but it says, if it's harder for a rich man to get into heaven, why are we all trying to be rich? You see, we must learn that true freedom, and to find true freedom is found in humility and submission to God. Gaining knowledge, because there's a lot of people who are exalted as smart and intelligent in our society. There's a lot of people with letters after their name who are preaching all these things and showing their intelligence, but guys, the same ideologies they believe in are the same ideologies they use to disprove the existence of our God. We have to think about this. Science, not that God didn't bless people with his wonderful minds to help and serve, and he absolutely did. But if we're checking that we're watching the news or we're looking into science more than the word of God, people have gotten fired from Newsworks for talking about God. People who are presenting these scientific literatures, they're denying the existence of God. But then when they're presented, when they're presented with someone like my little cousin Ethan, who right now is living when the doctors say, I don't get it. I don't know how. Or my uncle who's had that life and still is up here worshiping and serving God. And people say, it doesn't make sense. I thought only people who had everything good worship God. But what they don't understand is our God is a supernatural God. He lives inside of us. And he works miracles that the people who use science to deny him can't explain. We must learn to find true freedom and humility and submission to God, gaining knowledge by the fear of the Lord. And living a life where we deny our flesh, take up our crosses, not seeking worldly success or temporary wishes, but presenting the gospel to those who need it because we know we need it ourselves. And I was meeting with Pastor Tom and John before I was coming here. And Jonathan said to me one thing. We need to be free first in order to free others. And that's really the true point and the whole purpose of me saying this. Is learning how to deny ourselves and take up our cross so that we can be free. Not so that we can hold on to that freedom and just, you know, sit with it. But so that we can go to the others who don't have the freedom and spirit we have. We have this gift of knowing what God did for us. And I guess we could just keep it to ourselves. But Galatians 5:13 says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. And if we think about what I was talking about a little bit before, about how these false gospels represented by their fruit, the true gospel is representing by our love. The Bible says we will be known as servants as Christ by our love. And so with this freedom that we have, or this freedom that we gained, speaking against the attacks of the enemy today, don't use this freedom simply to just hold on to it and gratify our flesh, but use it to help other people. And guys, I want to be a little bit vulnerable and explain a testimony of before I really stepped into this role of wanting to go into ministry. You see, there's another ministry and there's another gospel and there's another religion out there called politics. And I was self-obsessed with that. All I wanted to do was watch as many political videos of the people that affirmed everything I said so that I could become this super wise and intelligent person so I could put everyone else down. Because isn't that such a great life to live? And you see, the purpose of me wanting to explain this to you is on this political journey of mine, and I want to say this to try to help other people who may be in the trap. When I was obsessed with politics, the enemy was teaching me to hate those who needed God's love the most. Because if I truly believed what I believed in politics, then the people that I was putting down and not liking and judging and hating were the people that were some of the most hurt, confused, and people who had no sense of identity. And then God kind of came down to me and slapped me in the face, which I'm grateful for. I'm sure all of us have been grateful for when God slaps us in the face sometimes. But he said to me, Vinny, who are you to judge and hate one of my other children? And in that moment, I knew where my identity was found and I knew where my freedom was from. But I was enslaving myself by not submitting to the word that said, don't focus on hate, but focus on love. And all of a sudden that changed into looking like, you're stupid. You believe the wrong thing. You vote for the wrong policies. How could you think that choosing this would be a smart decision? Two, I'm sure you were hurt and had a lot of trauma in your life, but I know someone who can overcome that. And so I kind of want to use that as an example. I want to use myself as an example of what not to do with this message. Where I was before was a don't do that. And you see, many of you guys know or not, there was a apostle named Stephen in the Bible. And he was just one of these young men who was so filled with the word of God and his spirit that it was just like it flowed out of him. And he was put this call on his heart to go and spread the word of God. And you see, the enemy wasn't happy about that. Because like I was talking about today, he was freeing people who were in bondage. And so people who said they believed in the same God as him because they knew the scriptures better or something got false testimonies to witness against him and say he was blaspheming against God. And he was placed before, you guys can kind of think about it like a court. It's called the Sanhedrin. And all the false witnesses and people to testify against them were put together and they made this case against them and then said, what do you have to say to that? And you see, he walked through the lineage and all the ways to like appeal the Jewish experts that were in there looking at him saying, you don't know what you're talking about. So he went down the lineage and line of history that made sense about God freeing the Israelites who were enslaved with Egypt, talking about Moses. But you see, he ended it with saying,
I'm explaining this to you because you guys are doing the same thing that they did back in the day. It's history repeating itself. And so in the moment, in the heat of the moment, when everybody was against him, it did not matter because he was free. And the reason he was free was because when push came to shove and he had to soften or deny or say whatever he could say to save his own back, he chose, no, I'm going to submit. And I don't know about you guys, but reading that passage, I'm sure the Holy Spirit used him to speak to other people in that court. But what ended up happening was when he called them out and said, you guys who were reading about the God that freed you, saw him, denied him, and put him to death. In the midst of a room that everyone was so angry in him with. And so that's the life that I want to express as a life of who is free. Because he was free of the worry, he was free of the fear, and he was free of the shame that other people put on him for not being afraid to speak the message of the gospel. And so as Jeff was talking about before, which by the way, this led to his death, and as he was dying, echoing his father, he said, Lord, do not hold this against them. That's true freedom. When you just speak the message of God and you get murdered for it, and in the midst of getting murdered for it, you say, don't hold it against them. That doesn't make sense to people. And that's power and that's freedom to break through the lies and the bondage that the enemy is holding people under. And so as, like I said, Jeff was talking about before, there is definitely a spiritual attack over our country, over our generation, and over our society. When we ripped him out, God, and we replaced God with ourselves, it ends in one of the worst places, mental health, suicide, anxiety, and depression-wise, because we're not meant to be God. You see, we were made as image bearers of God, but we weren't made one with him. And so I pray and call each and every one of us, as we know the light, because all I was really trying to do today was the Bible says we're children of light and we're called to use the light to expose the darkness. And so I'm trying to expose the darkness over the world and present the light so that then we can take the light and go and use it to expel more of the darkness. And so as we go out in our work, as we go out in our Monday to Saturday, I pray that we can all be like Stephen, who was so free, so unashamed of the gospel, who knew what the truth was that set him free, that in the midst of his life being on the line, he still was preaching the word of God. Because the worst thing the enemy could do is hold our life against us. I want to say that one more time. The worst thing the enemy could do is use and hold our life against us. But church, we serve a God who defeated death. We serve a God who died and rose again so that our life is not what we're living for. Our flesh is not what we're living for. But there's a lot of people in our society, there's a lot of people in our generation who don't know that. And I think some of you need to hear this today. Confusion, hurt, pain, a loss of identity, that's not what God created you for. He created you to be one with him by his spirit, to know who you are, to know that you all are children of the Most High King, the Most High God, because once you have that understanding, the devil doesn't seem so big anymore. And sometimes for people who know a little about God or don't know that much about God, the biggest worry, this is what I'll close with, but the biggest worry is if I look into God or search for him a little bit more, I'm going to have to sacrifice my life. I'm going to have to sacrifice maybe my friends. I'm going to have to sacrifice maybe some of the things I enjoyed and loved doing. So I think I'm content with where I am with God. But that's still a bondage lived life right there. And so I come before you, if you are that person who says, I'm scared to know more and look into God because I might have to give up X, don't focus on all the sacrifices. Focus on the sacrifice that was already done for you. Because you've already been freed. You've already no longer been bound. But all it takes is the humility to say, I need you, God. I need you, Jesus. And I need you to show me how to submit to you, how to abide to you, and how to become your own child, your own servant, so that I'm not serving the one in the world, but the one up in heaven.